everyone. This is the operator. Just need to inform you that today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you very much, Lai. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Speaker with Working Group call on Tuesday, 27th of August, 2013. On the call today, we have Mikey O'Connor, Mark Anderson, Don Blumenthal, Amir Al-Sadir, Carolyn Hoover, Tim Rees, Christopher George, Marie-Laure Lemineur, and Steve Metallitz. We have an apology from Alan Greenberg, and also Frédéric Guillemot has told us that he'll be joining for the last half hour only. He can't make it to the first one. From staff, we have Glenn de Saint-Géry, Barry Cobb, and myself, Matthew Peregrine. I'd like to remind all participants to state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Natalie and Lori, for that, and welcome, everybody. As usual, we'll take a brief moment to take a look at the agenda and give people a chance to update their statements of interest. I've got a minor update to mine. I'm now the GNSO counselor-elect for the ISP, so I'll be joining the council in at the Argentina meeting. And so there's my update. Anybody got anything they want to add or change the agenda before we get started? Okay. I've forgotten where we ended. And Barry, since I don't think you were on the last call, you may not recall either. I'm sort of...
This is Barry. We left off on number 15, which was the last ICANN staff comment under the section of stability. And I think we need to pick up under the privacy and data protection section on row 24 that's highlighted in yellow on the screen. Or if you want to...
And since authoritativeness is before that, let me hijack that with a conversation that many of you overheard the tail end of that Mark and I were having before we started the recording, because that pertains to that section. And although there isn't a public comment on it, just to sort of set the stage, when I was at the Durban meeting, I had a conversation with Pat Kane, who's the, I don't know, head honcho. I've forgotten what his title is, but anyway, a pretty senior person at VeriSign, and Pat was concerned about the, not so much concerned, I guess, but wanted to make it very clear the fact that VeriSign, because they don't have a direct relationship with the registrant, can't really effectively be put in a position of ensuring that the registrant data is accurate. And I think that aligns with the language that we have in our section, but to sort of tee this up a little bit more, what Mark and I were sort of talking about is whether we need to clarify that language. First, I think checking with the rest of you to make sure that that's consistent with your understanding of where we're at, but then also maybe thinking about clarifying that language in that section just a little bit and maybe giving Mark permission to go off and come up with a draft, and then also some other ideas that Mark's got. So with that, I'd like to sort of throw the ball to Mark to sort of recap what we were talking about just before the call started, as a way to get us into this, and then we'll have a conversation around this whole topic and see where we're at, and then move on to the privacy and data protection. Mark, over to you.
Great. Thank you, Mikey. Just like you said, I did have a follow-up conversation with Pat about this, and his concern was around the issue of authoritative versus accuracy. I think you know, as the registry operator, you know, we can be authoritative for the data, but we can't necessarily ensure the accuracy of the data. And a lot of that hinges on the fact that we don't have a direct relationship with the registrant. We're completely dependent on registrars for that relationship. And so whatever data that we receive from the registrar, we assume is accurate. And, you know, I use the example, I use the example of a garbage in, garbage out system. If the registrar feeds us, garbage, that's what we get. But we're required to act on all commands received from registrars. So we can't necessarily be sure or have a way of validating that the data we receive from a registrant is in fact actual validated registrant data. So this isn't a new conversation. You know, when we tackled this section, we certainly talked about that, and I think as Mikey said, we attempted to address that fact in the report. Unfortunately, I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but if Pat had a concern about this, maybe we can take a look and see if we can make that point more clear, or make sure that's clearly stated. I did look at it previously, and one of the things I wanted to throw out there for everybody, to consider, something that we could consider, and I don't know if this necessarily makes sense or not, but I think it's something we could at least consider, is that for new GTLDs, ICANN intends to provide accuracy checks for the new GTLD thick data. And so ICANN has said they have a way of validating that the data is accurate, and that they will be doing that for all new GTLDs. It's a fairly new development, and so I don't think there's a lot of data available on how they will be doing this, what would happen if that data turns out to not be accurate, what remedy steps will be necessary, or what actions will occur. But I think it's something we should consider as potentially recommending be done here as well. So if ICANN has a way of providing that, it might be worth us at least considering recommending that for other regulated TLDs as well, not just new GTLDs. So I'll sort of throw that out there and start with that.
Thanks, Mark, and sorry for sort of putting you on the spot on that, but I meant to ask you about that last week because, this came up a couple of weeks ago, and I knew that you'd been given the action to chase Pat down and talk about it. I think I'll run through the queue and just sort of get to you. Okay. I think I'll run through the queue real quick and sort of see where we're at and then carry on from there. So, Tim, go ahead.
A couple things. First, I was wondering if what Mark was suggesting, or if he'd even thought about suggesting either way, whether ICANN has that, is going to have that database or whatever, but who does the check then? Is it registrars, or was he suggesting the registry would check their data against it? I don't have an opinion either way. I just wondered if we would need to clarify that. The other thing I just wanted to add was that, and probably not that we need to note it anywhere, but just to note that in the new RAA, registrars are going to be required to do some basic checks of the data for accuracy. So, and then that's going to apply whether, I believe, whether it's thick or thin or whatever. I think we're required to do that for all of the WHOIS data, and again, however this is checked, we want to make sure that we all understand that when we're done, we might have more accurate data, but that doesn't necessarily mean that data actually is tied to that registrant, other than perhaps through an email address or whatever, because we're not doing identity checks; we're just doing accuracy of the data checks. So I guess that's one question, who will do the checks in Mark's scenario? And then, two, just noting that, will it matter if registrars are already required in the RAA to do some of these checks themselves anyway? Thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Steve. I really had 2 points. One I mentioned in the chat. This issue has come up a couple of times before in our discussion, so and it's referenced in the report. But if there's something that needs to be improved in the report, it would be helpful to have a specific suggestion for a change. I think what Tim says is right also. I mean, whether the registrar does a good job or a not very good job of verifying the data or validating the data, it's still the case that the registry in the thin situation does not have any relationship or is totally dependent on the registrar for that data, and even in the thick situation doesn't have a business relationship necessarily with the registrant. So I guess my concern would be is this a point that is in scope for our report, this question of improved validation efforts at the registrar level. I'm not sure whether the transition from thick to thin, from thin to thick necessarily changes that. The other point I wanted to make is that the checks that Mark is talking about are going to take place in the legacy, if we can call them that, GTLDs as well. That was the board resolution in response to the WHOIS review team report and this tool that's being developed. It's not really in existence yet, but the tool that is being developed will be used to validate a sample of legacy GTLD registrations as well as eventually new GTLD registrations. So I just wanted to clarify that. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. I'm assuming both your hands are old. Mark, go ahead and chime in, and then I'll see if I can wrap this one up.
Sure. I think Tim and Steve made two good points I'd like to jump on. The first that Tim made about the fact that in the new RAA, registrars are required to perform some level of validation on the data. I think that's an excellent point, and I think we drafted that particular section before the new RAA came out. And so I think it might be, since we do have a section on authoritative inaccuracy, I think it would be worth just noting the fact that the new RAA includes, a clause for registrars to validate the accuracy of the data. Just noting that, I think, would be interesting, would be relevant and useful, I should say. And Steve, Steve mentioned that the validation would be done against existing registries. I didn't realize that, but I think that's also an excellent point, and I think we should just note that, on the issue of authoritative inaccuracy, I think that's a relevant, note to add, and I think it would provide additional value and clarity to the report. So I think, both of those would be good notes to include in our final version.
Thanks, Mark, and thanks all for this conversation. I'll sort of do a last call on the queue, and then I'll, wrap this one up. Barry, I hope you saw all those action items flying at you like I saw them flying at you. Clearly, we need to get the references to the ICANN tool set that's being alluded to here, and we also need to get references for the new RAA. I think the actions sort of fall in two piles. I think we're all pretty much in agreement that we should acknowledge those newer developments in this section of the report and at least refer to them, maybe even pull a little bit of the language in just so people are aware of it. I think the other action, and Mark, if I could saddle you with this, would be Steve's point that if you could give that section of the report a pretty hard read and see if there are sections that need to be touched up, if you could sort of take the lead on the first draft on that, I think that would be very helpful as well. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like Steve said, we've talked about it a couple of times, but I'll already. So you know, not a new issue, but I'll give it a thorough once over. And if if I have any any specific recommendations for ways to improve it, I'll post it to the list.
Sounds great. Sounds like we're pretty much in agreement there. Barry, are you okay with that blizzard of action items I laid on you?
Got it.
Okay, cool. All right, so then on to our real agenda. For those who joined the call, I sort of hijacked the agenda, the review of the comments with this conversation that we just wrapped up with Mark, and I apologize for that, but this was an action item that we laid on Mark a few weeks ago, and I didn't want to miss this opportunity. So now we're on to row 24. I'll sync us to that and then release it again so that you can scroll around on your own. But the first comment that was highlighted that we need to take a look at was one here, and I'm sort of reading it as I speak. I think I'll just take a minute and read it, give you all a chance to. Okay. Let me summarize it into the transcript. This is talking about who's IHG? Anybody remember?
Intercontinental Hotels Group.
Ah, thank you, Steve. This is Intercontinental Hotels saying, ICANN must initiate processes to oversee and regulate privacy and proxy service providers. This oversight must be standardized, and requirements for registrars to meet accreditation standards must be contractual. Such oversight will result in clear, consistent, and enforceable requirements for the operation of privacy and proxy services that are consistent with national laws, and that strike an appropriate balance between stakeholders with competing but legitimate interests. And I see a comment from Steve in, the chat is lighting up with comments from Steve. Agree with the IHG comment, but not sure it's in scope for us, and Amr agreeing. Mark, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, I also agree. I don't think it has direct bearing on a transition from thin to thick. I also think that this, somebody with more knowledge of the RAA might want to jump in here, but I believe the RAA, includes a provision that, ICANN and registrars agree to meet in the future to work on just this issue. So again, I think this is outside of our scope, and I think it's intended to be addressed in other places. I think it's probably just out of scope completely, but we could consider referencing that section of the RAA, assuming my memory is correct there.
Yeah, and one way we could do that is we could say pretty much what you just said, excuse me, and then reference the appropriate section of the RAA in this document, not so much in the report per se, but this document will be included in the report as an appendix, and so IHG would be able to see that and get the reference to the RAA. Tim is commenting in the chat that it's in the REA, and Barry is commenting that it will be a PDP as a result of the negotiation. So there's clearly some documentation that we can point to. But I think we're all pretty much in agreement that this is one of those ones that says, thanks very much for your comment. This is outside the scope of our deliberations, and here are some relevant developments in other places. Okay, unless there's anything else on that one, let's go on to 25, which is from Patrick Van de Waal. And again, I want to just read it for a second. Okay, so this is again from Patrick Van de Waal, and I'll just summarize it into the transcript. This one says, with regard to applicable privacy laws, the working group notes that, quote, again, these questions must be explored in more depth by ICANN staff, starting with the General Counsel's office and by the community, with registries and registrars taking the lead, unquote. End quote. Then Patrick goes on to say, I would have expected that the domain name registrants would be the ones to take the lead. It's their data we're talking about, after all, not that of registries and registrars. I would rather suggest that the NCUC, BC, and ALAC should take the lead in collaboration with the GAC for those aspects regarding transborder data exchanges and compliance to local laws. It should be a customer and government-led effort, not an industry-led one. And then our preliminary response from Alan Greenberg was that was a suggestion on the part of the working group. The world may well unfold differently. I think that maybe what Patrick is trying to do is just change the who takes the lead portion of our recommendation. And I think that warrants a discussion that we're pretty deep into this now. Let's talk about this for a minute and see where we come out. There's a pretty substantial queue, so I'll get right to it. Jim, go ahead. You may be muted. It's pretty silent.
Oh, sorry about that.
There you go.
Yeah, I guess that, what Patrick says is true, but I will note that, registries and registrars have a huge stake here because, we're the ones that are going to be bound to abide by privacy laws. So if we screw it up, we're the ones that are going to pay the price. But it's very true that it is the registrant's data and that, they're the ones that are going to be most affected by any breach of privacy laws or whatever. So maybe one suggestion might be that, we could add registrants as part of the taking the lead, but maybe instead of continuing to expand the list in our comment, we just simply say, starting with the General Counsel's office, and by the community and end it there, the community being more inclusive then might be one suggestion. Thanks.
Thanks, Kim. Amr, you're next.
Yeah, hi. I was just about to put my hand down. This is Amr, sorry for the transcript. I was going to pretty much say what Tim just said, and that I do agree that registrants, whether commercial or non-commercial, are relevant stakeholders in this, but that does not diminish the importance of registries and registrars and how they might be affected by this, and they all should be included in the process, and perhaps we might want to change the language in the report to reflect this. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. Don, you're next.
Hi. Stakeholder's a slippery term, and so I'm not sure who the real stakeholders are. You basically agree with Tim. The people who face the legal liability, which is what I was thinking about when we were talking about this, are the registries and the registrars. So in that sense, I would point to them as the stakeholders. So, but basically, I think that the language is good. If we drop registries and registrars taking the lead, the point was that they need to be active, perhaps in contrast to what's happened before. But I don't know the need to say that point them as being leaders in the community.
Thanks, Don. Steve?
Yeah, I agree with Tim's suggestion, and also let's remember this is not one of our recommendations. This is in a section that says we know this is outside our scope, but here are some thoughts that we have on this. So let's not get too wound up about it. But I think Tim's suggestion is probably the best way to handle it. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. And then Avery commented in the chat right after Tim made that suggestion and said, so it really needs to be multi-stakeholder led. And then during the conversation about the registries and registrars having the legal liability, Aubrey commented, but the registrants have the privacy liability. So Aubrey, is it safe to say that you're okay with our emerging notion of just chopping that sentence off at the last comma? Would that work, or do you have anything that you want to add to the mix there?
No, I was fine. I was just being supportive of changing it either to the community, to the stakeholders, or just lopping it to, but just not being specific about which of the stakeholders is the lead is what I was agreeing with, and I was content with writing, but since you asked, thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And then, Don, is that an old hand or a new hand? It's an old hand. Okay. Tim is typing, so I'll just wait to see, but it sounds like we've got a plan. Just to summarize it for the record, I think what we'll do is end that sentence at the word community, and then, as always, Barry, the actions, I think, are to pick out the key arguments there. Thank Patrick for his comment. Note that we agree and highlight the sort of key arguments along the way. And Tim in the chat is agreeing with Aubrey that registrants have the privacy liability point. So get that into the transcript as well. All right. So then we move on to Patrick's next point, which is row 26 in this table. And again, I just want to take a second to read it. Okay, I'll do my usual dramatic reading, and then we can carry on from there. Patrick says, although the report mentions that the transition to the thick who is from the thin model would require the transfer of private data from the registrar to the registry, does not currently examine the legal issues that may arise from this transfer to a third country, both for registrars and registries. For example, none of the major GTLD operators located in the United States seem to be listed in the U.S.-EU safe harbor list for their GTLD-related activities, which may be problematic for registrars that need to seek prior authorization from the, from the National Data Protection Authority. See, and then he's got a link in there. As noted in the report, the fact there were no legal actions taken in the past does not mean that there are no legal issues. There's certainly no guarantee there will not be any in the future. And Alan Greenberg had a preliminary response from the working group that reads, to date, none of the parties involved in these discussions have identified explicit problems with the proposed transfer. Unease, yes, but no specifics. And so with that, we'll go to a queue led by Don. Go ahead, Don.
I mean, everything that, Patrick says here, writes here, is correct, but I'm not sure of the relevance. I mean, Safe Harbor is part of the overall privacy scheme, but it's not going to come into play until there's some determination that there's really an issue in, concerning the privacy of who is data and transfer across borders. I rambled a bit there. I see what he's saying. I really don't see where it's relevant, number one, and number two, the report doesn't examine the legal issues. We didn't examine any legal issues. We presented them for further discussion by GDC and whoever else should be involved. I'm not sure I was real clear on that. I knew what I meant.
No, I think I picked it up. I'll take a crack at summarizing this in a minute. Tim said in the chat, and by all means, Tim, if you want to chime in by voice, but I'll just read your chat note. Doesn't our comment that we just modified in 25 apply to this as well? These issues need to be explored in more depth. And Palmer is typing. Don is typing. Yes to Tim from Don. So I'll kind of wait for Amr, unless you want to just jump in, Amr, and say your words on the, say your own words instead of having me read them.
Yeah. Thanks, Mikey. This is Amr. We did spend a lot of time discussing the legal implications of trans-jurisdiction transfer of who is data. I personally don't mind spending the next 10 years discussing this issue, but I'm sure this would just prolong the process of this working group, and I think we agree that that discussing this and the detail required is beyond the capacity of the working group at this point, and I think that was made pretty clear in the report, which is one of the key reasons why I was personally happy with this section on data privacy and protection. So unless anyone else is interested in continuing the discussion on this, we could just agree that there are implications and they do need to be studied further, but probably not by this working group. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. And I think that and then Steve's got a question in the chat saying, what is Patrick asking us to include in the report? And I think that this is another one where we, you know, I like the track that Tim has put us on, which says, look, we agree that these are issues. Don made some good points about how they need to be raised and the structure of that. we're agreeing that, that's the case. We are also agreeing that we are not the right group to do that, that really the point that we made in the last section pertains here as well, which is that we feel pretty strongly that a group that's qualified and capable of assessing these issues needs to be formed and needs to go off and assess them. So, the chat has gotten a little frisky. Tim is saying, besides, hasn't ICANN indemnified everyone involved? Oh, never mind. He's got a little wink there for us. And so, anyway, I think that, Amr, you summed it up well. I think that we agree with Patrick that this is part of the list of issues that needs to be discussed by this group that needs to be formed, but that we're not that group. We simply encourage that group to carry on and figure it out. Mark, go ahead.
Thanks, Mike. It's Mark. Yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, that we've already addressed this. I mean, it's a topic we talked about in a lot of length, certainly on the subgroup around privacy. And you know, I think the two things that are, you know, things to note here is, you know, I think we all agree that it's, you know, it's simply beyond, you know, beyond the scope of this working group and beyond you know, our capabilities as a working group to, you know, to authoritatively answer potential legal issues. You know, so I think that's you know, just simply not something we're capable of doing. The other thing, you know, I feel like, you know, you made this point too in Patrick's previous point. I mean, you know, I think we specifically addressed this by saying, you know, these questions must be explored in more depth by ICANN staff, starting with the General Counsel's office. You know, I think that specifically addresses number 26, and I think that's sort of as much as we can do as a working group. Just sort of as a side note to that, VeriSign is actually on that list. So I'm just sort of note that.
Ah, okay. Volker. Oh, Volker took his hand now. I think that it's sounding to me like we're all fairly much in agreement here. I actually like Amr's and Mark's summaries better than mine, so I'm not going to try and repeat them. I always screw this up when I try and summarize it, so I'm not going to do it this time. But the one point I would add is that I think we may want to back off from Alan's comment. I think that the conversation we've had here is more relevant and enlightening than the comment that Alan made. Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick comment, and please ignore my mistyping. I agree with you. It's good to drop this. I don't think we want to say again that, and nobody's had a legal problem yet, therefore don't worry about it. And the other thing I'm just wondering, and I'm not remembering from when I read, is this issue explicitly in the litany of things that need the further investigation, or is it worth adding just a note or a word that would capture this whole safe harbor issue as a specific one that they do need to look at when they look at it, agreeing completely to say it ain't us, but that this should be on the litany of issues. And I don't remember seeing it there, but I may have just forgotten. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. And somebody's going to... Oh, there we go. It's probably Aubrey that was giving me a little echo. Thanks for muting. I would take that as a friendly amendment. It seems to me that if it's not on the list, we should put it on the list. If we have a list, I can't even remember if we have a specific list, but I think it's worth noting so that it doesn't get lost, for sure. Steve?
Yeah, my recollection is that we had it on the list and we took it out. I know I raised a question of what the relevance of the safe harbor, which is a particular arrangement between two jurisdictions, really has to do with this. I mean, you know, you could list everything in the world, but again, this is all we're saying is that this is not really our job, and we have not identified any issue relating to the transition from thin to thick that where this needs to be addressed. So I would...
Well, one way, Steve, to approach that, and I'm sort of making this up on the fly and don't feel real strongly about it, but would be simply to say, here's a list of issues that we encountered during our discussion that you might want to take a look at, but you all with more capacity and et cetera, are in a much better position. I could go either way on that. Any thoughts on something like that? Steve's in the queue. I'm sort of circling back to you, and then I'll go to Armour and Tim if you want to.
I think that was from my earlier. I'm not quite sure what you're suggesting, but my point is that again, I mean, I think it's the point Patrick raises. There are thick registries now in which this type of data transfer from Europe to the U.S. takes place all the time. He's asserting, and I think he's correct that these none of these thick registries is in the safe harbor program. I'm just not sure what that tells us about the transition to, you know, to thick for the remaining thin registries. They better be in, or that it's irrelevant, or that there are problems with the safe harbor. I mean, these are all legitimate questions, but I'm just not sure. I don't see them coming within our scope.
Yeah, and I guess the nub of this question is, should we be posing a punch list of issues for that group to consider? It's almost like a pre-chartering exercise, or should we let that
consider whether it likes whether companies are taking advantage of this arrangement between the U.S. and the EU? I just don't see the why would that be on an ICANN group's punch list?
Yeah. Okay.
Don't understand.
Yeah. Point heard. Point noted. Armour, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Amar. Just for the record, I personally believe that the charter of this working group clearly states that we should be addressing cross-jurisdictional issues on transfer of WHO's data. But as I think what the section on data privacy really says is that this, although this might be within the scope of the working group, we have as a working group agreed that it is beyond our capacity, and those are two different issues, which is why we think that we recommend in the report that this should be taken up further. Thanks,
Armour. Tim, you're next.
I guess I pretty much agree with Armour. I think that But while I think, you know, Patrick certainly brings up this issue about safe harbor, which I think is just way beyond anything we should consider now or in the future, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's all a part of his concern about what sounds to me, you know, the privacy laws, applicable privacy laws. And in fact, 27 even touches on it once again. And I just feel like, you know, they're all really the same thing, and we've already said that these questions must be explored in more depth by ICANN staff, starting with the General Counsel's Office and by the community. I don't know that we need to say much more than that. And I just think all three of these comments, 25, 6, and 7, are all just pretty much touching on the same thing.
Thanks, Tim. Don? Oh, you're maybe muted, Don.
Yeah, no, I just pulled it up.
There you go.
Tim a little bit anticipated what I was going to say. Safe Harbor, the EU Safe Harbor, any other cross-jurisdictional laws are all part of any evaluation that has to happen. For what it's worth, though, I even think the Safe Harbor is beyond ICANN. ICANN's discussions are, as far as I'm concerned, where the issues arise. Now, if the decision is that cross-border transfer may be a problem, that's where it stops. Safe harbor requirements are up to the nations involved, and I don't even think there's a place for ICANN I'm still in vacation mode. I'm sorry. I don't even think there's a place for ICANN and how they play out in the more extended sense.
Thanks, Don, and thanks for joining us when you're on vacation. Volker, go ahead. You may be muted as well. Oh, can't hear you, Volker. Oh, there he's coming.
Can you hear me now?
Now you got it.
Ah, perfect. I was unmuting my microphone all the time, and then I noticed that I didn't turn on the microphone on the Adobe yet, so I apologize. I think that the safe harbor issue is a bit of a red herring, because I don't think that any registry that is going to publish the data anyway in the public RIS is going to qualify for safe harbor status. Also, the revised privacy framework that we're looking at cannot be taken into account at this point, because they're simply not there, and they could undergo many revisions. And frankly, any new privacy framework that any country comes up might put the entire concept of the public RIS into question at some point. So this is not something that we can deal with at this point. The question that we have to raise is, what would be the ideal world, one where the registrars store the whois or one where the registries store the whois? What is the better model? And I think we've come out in favor of one model, and the rest of the questions, privacy questions, implementation are quite very much implementation questions that ICANN has to worry about and the community has to worry about it on a later stage. Our job is to define what would be the ideal solution from a policy standpoint.
Thanks, Volker. Mark?
And I keep reading through this, and I really go back to my previous comment. I think we've already addressed, what's in here. There's sort of three parts to his comment here. The first is, the transition of thin to thick will require the transfer of privacy data from the registrar to the registry. It goes on from there. And I think really anything, any action item there, we've already covered when we recommend that, ICANN's general counsel office look at that. I think as going on, the next thing is, he sort of brings up the safe harbor thing. It's I don't know what his point is there. He's just making a comment that I don't know what action he's he's expecting here. He's just sort of making a comment that the major GTLD operators in the United States, he's saying none of them seem to be on the list. Again, I'm not sure what his action he expects there. Well, like I said, I point out that VeriSign is on that list. You can find it going on the link he provided. And then his final note is that, he just says the fact that, there hasn't been any issues in the past is not a guarantee there won't be any issues in the future. Again, I think, we agree on that, and that's why we put in the note about recommending the ICANN general counsel look at this. So, I think we've already considered his points and addressed them. I'm not really sure what our what our action item is for this. Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks, Mark. I think that the sense that I've got, and I want to give Aubrey a chance to come in after I finish this, is that we seem to be pretty agreed that, and I haven't had a chance to read 27, but I'll sort of take that one as well, that Patrick's comments were pretty agreed that these are covered by our recommendation that a group outside of this working group take a look at these kinds of issues. I think the question that I raised where I didn't feel a lot of traction was the idea of providing that group with a list of possible issues to explore. I didn't feel like we got a lot of traction on that idea. And circling back to Aubrey, are you okay if we were essentially agree with Patrick that, yes, this is an example of the kind of thing that we expect that group to explore, and leave it at that? Would that suffice?
This is Aubrey. Thanks for asking me directly. I've been a background person following Amar and Roy's work. I need to talk to them more about it. I hear, definitely that there's sort of a minority view that, perhaps group did not go as far as it could have. So while agreeing with the body of the group's work, that there remains this point of disagreement that might just need to be, defined further and attached to the report or something. I don't know. But I really, since I've been a background participant, I really need to talk to Amar and Roy more about how to deal with making sure that Patrick's points are not only implicitly contained in the report, but somehow explicitly attached to the report. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. And I think that this conversation and the transcript, and I'm going to read some of the comments in the chat into the transcript as well, is a good record. And it certainly doesn't seem to me impossible to point the whatever this group is at this record and say, I don't know that we even need to say it in our report, but certainly if I were chartering that group, if I knew that there was a pretty substantive discussion around Patrick's points, get me a copy of that. Volker is saying, I think the comments are valid concerns, however, they should not impact our conclusions and recommendations. And then Mark goes on to say, I agree they're valid, but I feel as though we've already addressed them in our report. And then Don reinforces a list is pointless because the landscape is changing much broader than just the European requirements. So by all means, Aubrey, I think that this is one that I want to take a special care and pay a special attention to, because I know that it's so pivotal for many. But as sort of a starting point to wrap up today's conversation, and I think then we'll end the call, we're almost at the top of the hour, that basically what we should probably do is come up with the same response for all three of Patrick's points that sort of summarizes what we've been saying here, and then leave that open for Aubrey and Amar and others to have a chat to sort of figure out how they want to proceed and leave the door open for another conversation on this. I don't think it's an undue burden on the working group. We have plenty of time to get this worked out, and I'd rather get it really, really well worked out than try and push this together. So with that, I think we'll call it a day. Thanks, folks, for your thoughts and participation. I'm seeing a little typing in the chat, so if you want to just chime in on the air instead of having me read your stuff, that's fine. Otherwise, we'll call it quits and reconvene next week. Tim is still typing. Better type fast, Tim. Ooh, it was a long one. Just for the record, it says Tim. Just for the record, while my comment about ICANN indemnification seemed flippant, it is a concern in regards to the data privacy issue and the fact that registrants, registries, and registrars all fully indemnify ICANN in various agreements. Should be a concern discussed in any subsequent work on the privacy issue. So I'm glad I waited for that. It's another good comment. Again, you know, at a minimum, I think it's perfectly okay for the people chartering that next group to be made aware of this and other substantive conversations that this working group has had, just as a record that might be useful input to me. All right, then. We'll see you in a week. Thanks, all. That's it for me.